Sylvie Astor presents the Screen Guild Players in Paramount Pictures' smash dramatic hit, Double Indemnity, from the novel by James M. Cain. It stars Barbara Stanwyck as Phyllis, Fred McMurray as Walter, and Walter Abel as Keyes. The Lady Esther, Screen Guild Players in Double Indemnity.
It's midnight. Downtown Los Angeles is dark and deserted. But high above the quiet street, one window shows a splash of light. Walter Neff, star agent for Pacific All Risk Insurance, is in his private office typing a report.
Office memorandum to Barton Keyes, claims manager. July 16th, 1938. Dear Keyes, well, you old buzzard, you did it again. I mean, you were right on that Dietrichson claim. Accident and double indemnity. You said it wasn't accident. Check. You said it wasn't suicide. Check. You said it was murder. Check and double check.
He pauses, fumbles for a cigarette with his right hand. Now we see that the other hand hangs limp and useless at his side. And spreading from below his shoulder, a dark red stain discolors his shirt. He takes a long drag on the cigarette, crushes it out, and then goes on.
I'll admit it, Keyes. You can always smell a phony claim. And you were pretty good on this one for a while. Only you made just one little mistake. You picked the wrong guy for the murder. And that's where I want to set you straight. I want to tell you who it was. It all started one afternoon about the end of May. I'd stopped at this house over on Los Feliz to check up on some auto renewals. The maid who answered the bell was kind of nasty, and as I was trying to talk my way in...
What is it, Nettie? Who's at the door?
That was her. That was the first time I ever saw her. She was up on a little balcony, standing there wrapped in a beach towel, and showing plenty of curves. And I guess I must have goggled a bit because she sort of smiled. And then...
I'm Mrs. Dietrichson. What is it, please?
It's about the renewals on the automobiles, Mr. Dietrichson. The insurance ran out on the 15th. I'd hate to think of you getting a smash fender or something while you're not fully covered.
I think I know what you mean. I've just been taking a sun bath.
No airplanes around, I hope. Look, Mr. Dietrichson, about these policies...
Would you mind going into the living room, please? I'll slip something on and be right down.
That was all, Keyes. Except the way she looked at me. Sort of giving me the come on, if you know what I mean. I know. Especially after she came downstairs.
I hurried, so I hope my face is on straight.
That's perfect for my money, Mrs. Dietrichson.
Won't you sit down, Mr.
Neff. Walter Neff. With two F's, like in Philadelphia. If you know the story.
What story?
The Philadelphia story. Let's see. What were we talking about?
Insurance.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, it's on both cars, Mr. Dietrichson. The policies are... Hey, that's a honey of an anklet you're wearing.
Maybe I ought to cover it so you can keep on talking about insurance.
Well, I've been trying to get in touch with your husband. He never seems to be at the office.
He's been very busy down at Long Beach in the oil fields.
Well, maybe I could catch him at home some evening.
I suppose so, but he's never home before 8.
Well, that's swell. Say, I wish you'd tell me what's engraved on that anklet.
Just my name.
As for instance?
Phyllis.
Phyllis, huh? I think I like that.
But you're not sure.
I'd have to drive it around the block a couple of times.
Let's say tomorrow night at 8:30. He'll be in then.
Who?
My husband. Didn't you want to talk to him?
Oh, sure, but I'm kind of getting over it, if you know what I mean.
Mr. Neff, there's a speed limit in this state, 45 miles an hour.
How fast was I going, officer?
I'd say about 90.
Well, suppose you get down off your motorcycle and give me a ticket.
Suppose I let you off with a warning this time.
Suppose it doesn't take.
Suppose I have to whack you over the knuckles.
Suppose I bust out crying and put my head in your shoulder.
Suppose you try putting it on my husband's shoulder.
Well, that tears it. I'll drop in tomorrow night.
I'll see you to the door.
About 8:30? Will you be here, too?
I usually am.
Same chair, same perfume, same anklet?
I wonder if I know what you mean.
I wonder if you wonder. Maybe you can't understand that, Keyes. You've got an insurance policy where your heart ought to be. But I tell you, I couldn't wait to get back to see her again. And when she phoned the next morning and changed the appointment to the afternoon, I almost broke my neck getting over there. She met me at the door herself, explaining it was the maid's day off. Then she told me her husband couldn't make it either. So there we were, alone. Well, we sat around and had some light palaver, and pretty soon we were Phyllis and Walter. And then when she thought I'd taken the hook, sort of casual-like, she started pulling me in.
Walter, I'm a little worried about my husband.
Should I be, too?
Oh, silly. I mean, he's always down in those oil wells with the drilling crews. It's very dangerous.
Sure, but it's mighty profitable.
Why, only last week a crown block fella caught the foreman and broke his back.
Oh, that's bad.
Don't you think he should carry accident insurance?
The foreman?
No, my husband. What kind of a policy could he get?
Oh, say $125 a week cash benefit. Around $50,000 capital sum.
Oh, capital sum? What's that?
That's if he got killed. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, I suppose you have to think of everything. Oh, Walter, could I get an accident policy for him without bothering him about it?
How's that again?
Well, I have a little allowance of my own. I could pay the premium and not even tell him about it.
Why shouldn't you tell him?
Well, because I know he doesn't like accident insurance. He's superstitious.
A lot of people are. That's funny, isn't it?
Yes, if there was a way to get it like that, why, all my worries would be over. You see what I mean?
Sure, I've got good eyesight. He wouldn't know about the policy. And the insurance company wouldn't know that he doesn't know. Isn't that the setup?
Well, is there anything wrong with it?
No, I think it's lovely. And then if some dark night that crown block fell out...
What crown block?
Of course, it doesn't have to be a crown block. Car can back over him or he can fall out of a window. Any little thing like that just so it's a morgue job.
Are you crazy?
Not that crazy. Good afternoon.
Walter, what's the matter?
Look, baby, you can't get away with it.
Get away with what?
You want to knock him off, don't you, baby?
Oh, that's a horrible thing to say.
What did you take me for? A guy that walks up to a good-looking dame and says, "Hello, I sell accident insurance on husbands. You got one that's been around too long?" Not me, baby. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here, but quick. I walked right out. She didn't fool me for a minute. No, and I didn't fool myself either. Back in my apartment that night, I knew I hadn't walked out on anything. She had the hook in me too strong. And when the doorbell rang a little later, I didn't have to guess. I knew who'd be there when I opened the door.
Hello. Don't you want me to come in?
Sure, why not? How'd you know where I live?
It's in the phone book.
How'd you get out? Your husband away?
He telephoned from Long Beach, said he wouldn't be home till late. You know, it's about time you said you're glad to see me.
I knew you wouldn't leave it like that.
Like what?
Like it was this afternoon.
Oh, Walter, you must have misunderstood. You must never think anything like that about me.
Okay.
No, it's not okay. Not if you don't believe me.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Be nice to me. Like the first time you came.
It can't be like the first time. Something's happened.
I know it has. It's happened to us. Maybe I oughtn't to have come.
Maybe you oughtn't.
You want me to go?
If you want to.
Right now?
Come here, baby. I wanted to do this from the minute I saw you.
Walter.
How are you going to do it, baby?
Do what?
Kill him.
Oh, Walter, for the last time. Why do you keep on saying that?
Come on, pull yourself together. Just stop thinking about it, baby. So we just sat there, and she kept on crying. Maybe after a while she forgot about it. Maybe she did. But me, I couldn't. I'm not trying to alibi myself, Keyes. I fought it, only maybe I didn't fight it hard enough. And pretty soon I was in it so deep, I didn't even hear her when she said...
I've got to go now, Walter. Will you call me? Walter!
Huh?
I hate him. I loathe going back to him. You believe me, don't you, Walter?
Sure, I believe you.
I can't stand it anymore. Sometimes I think it would be better to hang.
You're not going to hang, baby. Not ever.
Walter.
Because you're going to do it the smart way. Because I'm going to help you.
You?
Me.
Do you know what you're saying?
Sure, I know. We're going to do it together. And we're going to do it right.
Walter, my arm. You're hurting me.
Call me, but not from your house. From a booth. And watch your step every single minute. It's got to be perfect, you understand? Straight down the line.
Okay, Walter. straight down the line.
The first step looked like the tough one, Keyes. To get her husband's signature on an accident policy. But that turned out to be a cinch. He thought he was signing the auto renewals. And after that, everything seemed right in the groove. Phyllis told me he was going north at the end of the month to a college reunion. That suited me fine. There was a little clause in the policy, double indemnity for death by train. $100,000 instead of 50. And then, with only a week to go...
Walter, he had an accident at the well. He broke his leg. The trip is off.
And that's how it stood till a few days later. I guess you remember that afternoon, Keyes. You'd come into my office and you were kind of hot.
Can you imagine a stupid lunk like this Gorlopsis trying to put a fast one over on me?
I guess he didn't figure on your little man.
Yes, my little man, right here inside of me.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Walter, you can kid me about my little man, but he ties my stomach up in knots every time a phony claim comes in. Know what we found at Gorlopsis' place? Wood shaving, soaked in kerosene. So I hauled him in here and... Go ahead, take it. It's probably for you.
Well, why not? It's my phone. Hello, Walter Knapp speaking.
Walter, I had to call you. It's terribly urgent. Are you with somebody?
Yes, I am. Can't you call me back, Margie?
No, Walter, I've only got a minute. I can't wait. Listen, he's going tonight on the train. Are you listening? Walter.
Sure, I'm listening, Margie.
He's on crutches. The doctor says he can go if he's careful. Oh, it's wonderful, Walter, just the way you wanted it. Only with crutches, it's ever so much better, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Hold the line a minute. Say, please, suppose I join you in your office, huh?
I'll wait. Tell Margie not to take all day.
Hello, Margie. Go ahead.
It's the 10:15 from Glendale. I'm driving him to the station. Is it still that same dark street?
Yeah, sure.
I'll leave the garage door open. You can hide in the back of the car. The signal is 3 honks and the horn. Is there anything else?
What color did you pick?
Color? Oh, yes. The blue suit, Walter. And the cast is on his left leg.
Yeah, I like that fine.
This is it, Walter. I'm shaking like a leaf, but it's just like you said. Straight down the line.
The curtain falls on Act One of the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players. And now, the lights go on. Do you welcome those bright lights, or would you rather sit in darkness, kind, concealing darkness that hides little blemishes? Now, if you want to be proud of your skin, if you want to look and feel radiantly attractive in any light, listen to this message from Lady Esther.
Do you know the mistake many women make in the care of their skin? They use too many different kinds of preparations. They use one thing to open the pores, another to close the pores. One thing working against the other. Any doctor will tell you that's wrong. That under such treatments, the pore openings finally refuse to function at all. They remain wide open and make the skin look coarse and rough. That's why, for a good many years, I've refused to make any other cream than Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. For I know it's the only cream you need. All any skin needs is a cream that cleans it thoroughly, that removes not only the dirt and waste which clog the pore openings, but the dry, dead particles of skin nature is constantly throwing off. And Lady Esther Face Cream does just that. It leaves your skin so smooth and fresh, so free of dry, flaky particles, that when you apply your face powder, it looks fastidiously clean and radiant. It has a translucence, a clarity it never had before. And you can prove all this in just 30 seconds with a patch test. Just rub a little Lady Esther face cream on one cheek. Wipe it off. Then compare that side of your face with the other. Run your fingers over it and feel how the dry, rough flakes are gone, how smooth and silky that patch of skin has become. Then apply your face powder and see the difference. See the fascinating new clarity of your skin. You see, Lady Esther face cream does the four things your skin needs most for beauty, and does them by itself, working with nature, not against nature. Prove it with a patch test. It takes only 30 seconds, half a minute. So get a jar of Lady Esther face cream at the very first opportunity and make the patch test. Tonight, if you possibly can.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of Double Indemnity, starring Fred McMurray, Barbara Stanwyck, and Walter Abel. We're back in Walter Neff's office again. We can see the dark red stain on his shirt. It's larger now, and the pain lines cut deeper into his face. For a somber moment, he stares at the wall, then hunches over the typewriter again.
We killed him, Keyes. In the car on the way to the station, just the way we planned. I don't think he ever knew what hit him. We stopped at a place I had all picked out. We shoved him into the back of the car and tossed an automobile robe over him. Then I wrapped some stuff around my leg, made it look like I was wearing a cast. And that's how I got on the train, wearing that and a pair of crutches. Do you get it now, Keyes? You see how carefully I'd worked it out? Dietrichson's body was in the back of the car, and still he was getting on that train. Phyllis kissed me goodbye at the train and told the porter to make up my berth. I said I'd go back to the observation platform. And that's where I had the first hint of trouble. There was somebody out on the platform already. Name of Jackson, he told me. The type that always introduces himself. I had to think fast. We were moving now. I didn't have much time, so I started fumbling around in my pockets. And then he noticed it and grinned.
I bet you forgot something. You know, I always do.
Yeah, my cigar case. I must have left it in my top coat back on the seat.
Care to roll yourself a cigarette, Mr.?
Dietrichson. Thanks, I really prefer cigars. Maybe if I could get the porter.
Oh, no need to bother. I could fetch your cigars for you. I'd be glad to.
Oh, that's very nice of you. It's car 11, section 4. Are you sure it's not too much trouble?
Don't mention it, Mr. Dietrichson. No trouble at all.
That gave me my chance to hop off the train. Luckily, it was just about the spot we'd picked, and Phyllis was waiting there in the car with all the lights off. We dragged the body out and dropped it on the tracks. The crutches, too. Then we got in the car and started the motor and got away from there fast. You'd better drop me off here. I'll walk the extra block back to my place, just in case.
All right.
Good night.
Walter.
Yeah?
Aren't you going to kiss me?
Okay.
It's straight down the line, isn't it? Isn't it? Walter, what's the matter?
Aren't you nervous at all?
No. Are you?
Yeah.
You mustn't be. I love you, Walter.
Yeah, I love you too, baby. You know what happened after that, Keyes. They found the body on the tracks. The autopsy showed a broken neck. They figured he'd fallen off the train. Even you, Keyes, you thought so, too. And if we got by you, the worst was over. I was really beginning to feel relaxed, and then the following night...
Walter, I had to come. I had to see you.
You're sure nobody noticed you?
I'm sure. I looked all around first and... Walter.
Get in the bedroom. Don't make any noise. All right, just a minute.
Hello, Walter.
Hello, Keyes. What's on your mind?
Say, Walter, you got any bicarbonate?
No, I'm sorry. Anything wrong?
That broken leg. The guy broke his leg.
What are you talking about?
About Dietrichson. He had accident insurance, and then he broke his leg.
So what?
He didn't put in a claim. Why didn't he?
What the dickens are you driving at?
Walter, I ate dinner 2 hours ago. It's stuck halfway down. That little man is acting up again. There's something wrong with the Dietrichson case.
Well, maybe Norton was right. Maybe it was suicide.
No, not suicide. But not an accident, either.
What else? Murder?
I'll tell you better when I've checked on his wife.
His wife?
She's the beneficiary.
Well, that's crazy. You haven't got a thing to go on, Keyes.
No, not too much. 26 years experience, all the percentage, and this lump of concrete in my stomach. Say, I've got to get to a drugstore. I'll see you tomorrow. Can you imagine? No bicarbonate in the fridge.
Walter.
Be careful.
How much do you think he knows?
Oh, it's not what he knows. It's those stinking hunches of his. Baby, from here on in, we've got to really watch it. I knew you, Keyes. I knew how you worked. I felt like I was holding a time bomb in my hand without knowing what time it was set to go off.
Say, Walter, I picked up something today from Mrs. Dietrichson's maid. She saw Mrs. D trying on a hat, a black hat, like a widow might wear. Only it was a week before Dietrichson died. Walter, I heard from Jackson today. You know, that fellow on the train, he sent back those pictures of Dietrichson with an affidavit. He swears it isn't the man he talked to that night. Walter, it's coming apart at the seams. When I knew it wasn't Dietrichson on the train, I knew that dame must have had some help. She's got a boyfriend, Walter. He's been dropping in there every night around 12. I'm going to pick them both up any time I want them.
It's funny, but that's the thing that hit me the hardest, Keyes. That boyfriend of hers. I'd killed a man. I'd killed him for money and for a woman. And now I wouldn't get the money and I wouldn't get the woman. All along, she'd been dealing with a crooked deck. I did a lot of thinking that afternoon. And then I knew what I had to do. That night, I called up Phyllis and said I was coming over. I told her to keep the lights off and to leave the door unlocked. I was all set now. Yeah, that's what I thought. What I didn't know was that she was set, too. And when I let myself into the house that night...
In here, Walter. The living room.
Hello, baby. Anyone else in the house?
No, we're all alone.
What's that music?
A radio up the street. Sit down, Walter.
Just like the first time I was here, isn't it? We were talking about automobile insurance. Only you were thinking about murder. And I was thinking about that anklet.
And what are you thinking about now?
I'm all through thinking, baby. This is goodbye.
Goodbye? Where are you going?
Nowhere. It's you that's going, baby.
So you've got it all arranged, Walter.
You arranged it for me. You and your boyfriend. It's been you and him all along, hasn't it?
That's not true.
Well, that's what Keyes thinks, and what Keyes thinks is good enough for me. It's simple when you figure it out. The boyfriend will be here in 15 minutes, with the cops right behind him. I fixed that. They'll just charge another one off to him.
Maybe I don't figure it that way.
Maybe I do. Say, I don't like that music anymore. It's too close. You mind if I shut this window?
Walter.
Yeah? So you cross me again. What's the matter? Why don't you finish me off? Maybe if I came a little closer. How's this? No, huh? All right, I'll take the gun. Why didn't you shoot again, baby?
Walter.
Don't tell me it's because you love me all this time.
No. No, I never loved you, Walter. Not you or anyone. Until a minute ago, I didn't think anything like that could ever happen to me.
Sorry, baby. I'm not buying.
I'm not asking you to buy. Just hold me close.
Sure. Sure. Goodbye, baby.
No! What?
Now I'm back here in the office, Keyes. It's pretty late. Maybe they found her by now, but I had to make my report. I had to tell you all that...
It won't be necessary, Walter.
Jeez. How long you been standing there?
Long enough.
What happened? Your little man pull you out of bed?
No. The janitor. Seems you leaked a little blood on the way in here. You're all washed up, Walter.
Oh, no. Not yet, Keyes. Look, you don't have to find this report till tomorrow morning. By then, I can be across the border.
You'd never make it.
Sure, I can. Sure, I can make it. If I started right now, that's all I'm asking, Keyes. Just this one break. Just a chance.
Hello? Headquarters? This is Barton Keyes over at Pacific All Risk. Better send a couple of your boys over here. Yeah, they'd better bring an ambulance. A friend of mine just reached the end of the line.
Thank you, Barbara Stanwyck, Fred McMurray, and Walter Abel, for your deeply moving performances. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
It's easy to make claims, but it's not always easy to prove claims. Now, I say that Lady Esther face cream will give your skin new life and freshness, will give your skin a smooth clarity and translucence on which your face powder looks beautiful. And I prove it. In just 30 seconds, half a minute, with the Lady Esther patch test. Here's all you do. Just rub a little Lady Esther face cream on your forehead, chin, or one cheek. Wipe it off completely. Then see and feel the difference. Run your fingers over that patch of skin and feel how the dry, rough flakes are gone. Apply your face powder and see the vibrant color and freshness of it on the smooth, new beauty of your skin. Now, that will happen to your entire face when you apply Lady Esther face cream. For one, it thoroughly cleans your skin. Two, it softens your skin. Three, it helps nature refine the pores. And four, it leaves a smooth, perfect base for powder. Remember, you can prove all this in the time it takes to count 30. So get a jar of Lady Esther face cream and make the test that has thrilled and convinced so many women.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present So This Is Washington, starring Edward Arnold and Lumen Abner. Be sure to listen. Barbara Stanwyck can soon be seen in the Warner Brothers picture, My Reputation. Fred McMurray can soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox Technicolor production, Where Do We Go From Here? Walter Abel will soon be seen in Paramount's Hal Wallace production, The Affairs of Susan. Double Indemnity was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, producers of Practically Yours, starring Fred McMurray. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. Remember, ask for the largest size. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.